Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Well, I'm Muhammad Jawad Mawafi with the Radio Ma'arif. The name of our program is Question and Answers. Here we invite a special guest to the studio and ask him a lot of questions, and they kindly provide us with, answers. And today's guest is Hujjat al-Islam Barati. Well, first we greet him. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you very much.
The first question, but before we actually skip to the first question, let me tell our dear listeners about our contacts. The way you can contact us is many ways. You can send your comments and opinions to the following email, radioma'arif@irib.ir. Or you can visit our website, www.radioma'arif.ir. You can, call us at the following number, 0098-251-291-0551. Or the local number again, with the last digit, of course, changing to 2, 291-0552. All right. Well, the first question, which is about growing beard. I've been told that growing beard is obligatory in Islam. But as we all know, the Holy Quran says, or Allah says in the Holy Quran, that He will not look at your bodies and shapes or forms or any of these sorts. But He will look at your heart. And then, why would the beard be considered obligatory in Islam, and if you're going to be judged on our hearts, based on our hearts? Would you please possibly actually answer us? Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This question could be divided in two parts.
Right.
The first part is about beard and growing beard, which is related to appearance of a person in Islam. For those who want to follow Islamic decrees and orders and Sunnah and tradition of Islam, yes, there is a tradition in Islam about your appearance. You should be clean, you should be neat, nice for people. Right. And also in your face, if you are a man, and you could leave your beard like this is recommended, even considered obligatory, because for a Muslim who is going to follow tradition of Prophet and saints and early Muslims, it is important. Even it is important, for example, Prophet, peace be upon him, how he did with his nails, how he did with his hair of head, and how he did with hair of the face. So Prophet, peace be upon him, left his beard to be grown, and always he made a kind of, for example, decoration and a kind of maintenance for his hair. And it is a kind of religious appearance to have beard, not in Islam only, even in Christianity, in Judaism, in most of the religions.
Right.
You can find the religious appearance by beards in men.
Mm-hmm.
But the second part of the question is about a quotation from Holy Quran.
Right.
I should correct it.
Mm-hmm.
And say that the sentences you quoted are not from Holy Quran. You cannot find such as these sentences in Quran. But I remember that there is a tradition from Holy Prophet which says that إن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا ينظر إلى صوركم بل ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم.
Right.
So this is related to the day of judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to judge upon somebody, he is a Muslim, is a faithful Muslim, is a devoted Muslim, or is not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not count on this appearance only.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Appearance is not an important part, or is not a major part, has not a great for example, part in this judgment.
Yes.
But the main factor, the main element for mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judgment, which judges upon people that you are a good person or not, or a Muslim or not, or a religious person or not, or a faithful person or not, is your intentions, is your personality, is your will, mm-hmm. goodwill,
yes.
and is your deeds mostly.
Right.
So because of that, in this prophetic tradition, is told that the major factor for being judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a religious and faithful person is your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have other traditions which support it. For
yes.
example, when you open the tradition books, you, in the first chapter you find traditions about niyya, intention.
Yes.
نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ إِنَّ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So means that your personality is important, your
yes.
behavior, your method, your way,
mm-hmm.
your direction, your trends in life is important,
yes.
not some single, for example, appearances or mode or fashion or what they say.
Yeah, yeah.
No, these are not important in that regard.
Uh-huh.
But if you are asking about decrees and the traditions of Islamic life, yes, you are recommended and you are told to follow Prophet and Imams and descendants of Prophet, which they followed this way. And the tradition of not leaving the beard or even shaving it is for other religions, for
uh-huh.
example, for Zoroastrianism.
Right.
They shave the beard and leave the mustache.
All right. What about the mustache? What do you think? I mean, what does Islam say about the mustache?
To cut it, to shorten it. Yeah. This is the appearance which Prophet Abraham, father of three religions,
uh-huh.
Judaism and yes. Christianity and Islam,
yes.
has left and the legacy of him.
Uh-huh, that's it. Okay, so if what you're suggesting, of course, from the Holy Quran and also the traditional, hadith, well, if we are forced in some special circumstances to do something, but our heart actually is not happy, for example, with that situation, then God is not going to, in fact, judge us according to the facial activities and behaviors that we have. Huh?
And this is one of the most clearest meanings of that tradition, that
uh-huh.
in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges upon you by your heart, not by your deed, which is under the force or influence of others.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So can we actually shift to the issue of taghiyyah here?
Maybe you can use this hadith as a proof, as a, for example,
evidence for
yes, argumentation
uh-huh.
for taqiyyah, which
yes.
is valid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you permission in some circumstances, some cases, to leave or abandon some of traditions or decrees, not because he does not like you to endanger your life or your safety.
Yes.
And if you are free, then you practice what you are told and you are ordered.
Thank you very much. لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا بالحق جاء لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا كان الرجاء لا إله إلا الله
كتابنا فيه الهدى
كتابنا فيه الهدى
محمد النور الضياء
محمد النور الضياء
وصلاتنا تنهى النفوس عن الفواحش والرياء والرياء
لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا كان الرجاء لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا بالحق جاء لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا كان الرجاء لا إله إلا الله
وصيامنا خير لنا
وصيامنا خير لنا
هو الدواء والشفاء
الدواء والشفاء
وزكاتنا أمن لنا فيها الفوائد والوفاء والوفاء
إسلامنا بالحق جاء لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا كان الرجاء
Well, the next question is about guidance. Sometimes these series of guidance ends in ruin, and sometimes they ends in successes. Well, I can quote from a book that I've recently read under the title of What Does Islam Say About Zikr? The Kalimas. Well, the author suggests that there's no need for those people whose hearts zikr of Allah has come to dwell permanently as a result of a constant endeavor. Well, and it becomes, I mean, zikr becomes a part of their existence, and they can follow a set routine and make a special effort in this respect. But if common people like us wanted to strengthen their bond with Allah, well, they need to actually participate in such a blessedness, and they have to actually practice zikr at a fixed time, in a fixed number, according to a special and individual circumstances. But it's still better, they should seek the advice of a spiritual guide while choosing dhikr formula for themselves. Or they can select, let's say, a kalima from the kalimas, or the words which are, let's say, special in this respect, and they have to work on them and practice them in a way which suits their temperament, their individual characteristics and traits. Well, and time should also be set aside daily for the recitation of the Quran. May I ask you, to what extent are these suggestions valid? I mean, the author said this. So according to the Quran and traditions of the Prophet, what do we have to do? What should we do? Thank you.
I appreciate you for this very nice question. Here, we deal with an important issue in Islamic history, which is called Sufism, mm-hmm. or mysticism.
Right.
What you asked, they have roots in Islam.
Yes.
In Islamic tradition and in Islamic heritage, like in Holy Quran verses and in Hadith, there are a lot of emphasize and importance for zikr. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran says, وَأَقِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, means that you have to perform a salat or prayers because of my zikr, my mentioning. Why you do your prayers? Mm-hmm. Why you say your prayers? Because your prayers is a kind of zikr, is a kind of mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And zikr is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even he punishes some of his servants and his creatures because they have forgotten his zikr and his name. And zikr in this meaning is not to repeat only some words. They have asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, yes, about zikr and about mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are they these words? Imam says, no, these are only zikr. And for example, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by words and tongue, by mouth, these are not real zikr. Real zikr is to remember him. Always remember him.
Yes.
Especially when there is a case of sin or unlawful things or to be a rebellion to him, mention him and stop.
Yes.
When there is a duty, there is an obligation, mention him and do your duty. Yes. When there is a, for example, misery or problem or some kind of, for example, catastrophes, mm-hmm. mention Allah and be patient and never lose patience. And do, for example, unusual things or funny behavior. So dhikr could be divided in two major kinds. One, by tongue and by mouth and by words, as you told, as you mentioned in your question. Mm-hmm. And the second one, which is the most important kind of dhikr, and the real dhikr, is dhikr by heart, by by intellect, by noticing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking care of your duties towards Him.
Yes.
This is very important. So these are teachings in Islam and trainings of Islam. But what later on in the history of Islam emerged as, for example, Sufi orders, Sufi circles, for example, Sufi rituals and ceremonies and circumstances, even they sit in, for example, special meetings or special gatherings and shake their, for example, head and repeat some words in some special measures and like this.
Or the dance especially.
Yeah, even dances and so on. So these don't have roots in Islam, and a lot of them are added to it, and they are copied from other sects and other religions, and some of them are invented by, for example, leaders or by, for example, guides of these orders, according to their own knowledge and their own cultures and intentions. So we cannot endorse all of them. We cannot, for example, suggest this to people and recommend them to follow all of these taxes and, for example, ceremonies and rituals, because some of them are against Islamic tradition and against the progress of knowledge and ethics and values of social life. But we cannot deny the root of Islamic mysticism and Islamic, for example, even this is a kind of Islamic ethics and education.
Yes.
They have their own roots in Islamic history, and the roots are endorsed and are, for example, approved, as we can find in Quran and Hadith, especially guidances of our imams and leaders, 12 imams from the descendants of Prophet, peace be upon them, they only support this kind of zikr, and zikr by heart, zikr by intellect and intention and faith, that every faithful person has to remember his Lord and his duties and his, for example, leaders and Prophet and Imams, what they have told, what they have done, what they have guided us to do. This is necessary. Mm-hmm. If you forget this, if somebody, for example, is separated from this zikr, means that he is separated from faith, from Iman.
Yeah.
He has forgotten God in this meaning, means that he is he has denied God.
Yes.
And he has left his own faith and his own religion and his own belief. In this meaning.
Even
but
if those people whose hearts actually contain, I mean, zikr stays in their hearts.
That's okay. But I want again to say that we are ordered to do some zikr in Sharia. It's better to keep them in the same way that, for example, Prophet, peace be upon him, teaches his daughter, Lady Fatima, peace be upon her, a kind of zikr. Tasbih Fatima, peace be upon her, is famous. Is narrated in Sunni books and Shiite books.
Right.
When Fatima, salamu alayha, peace be upon her, was so tired from the work in the house, and he has no servant, she has no servant, she has no, for example, facilities, instruments for work, so it was so hard for her. And she was a young lady, and she had to keep and to take care of children also. When his father, the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to his to her house to visit her and watched her in this very hard situation, she started to complain to his father that, do you find me in this, do you see me in this situation? Please help me, please support me, give me assistance, give me help. So he says, okay, I don't have, for example, money to give you. I don't have a slave or, for example, servant or, for example, worker to give you. But I teach you something that is keeping you fresh and strengthening you and giving you power to resist and to continue your life by an by a spiritual power. So then teaches her this tasbih. You say after your daily prayers, 34 times Allahu Akbar, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Subhanallah. And this is a sunnah, a tradition. All of the sects and the schools of thought in Islam has narrated it, have narrated it. So this is a zikr. Is taught by Prophet, peace be upon him. This is precious. This is valid in Islam. But for example, that sheikh or that, for example, saint or that, for example, wali, as they say, says that you have to say every day 400 times Allahu Akbar in this hour. These are they don't have roots in Sharia, so it's better not to accept them. And even we are narrated from Imams of Ahlul Bayt, somebody came to Imam and asked him, they have taught me this zikr and this dua. Can I keep it and remember it and practice it? Imam says, no, leave it. Let me teach you something is narrated by Imams, by Prophet, peace be upon him, himself. You keep this, maintain this, and leave the others. So even we are ordered to not to follow them. These are some innovations, some bid'ah, and makes troubles for us. And in most of the cases, we don't have proofs for them. So it's better to leave them. We appreciate them, these Sufi orders, because they are trying to educate people. They are trying to, for example, practice them in spirituality and morality. But in the same time, we recommend them, we ask them please to leave all of these and come back to the simple type and kind of worship which Islam itself has left for us. A Quran and Prophet and Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. And this is simple and easy, and they can be sufficient for all of the purposes you have. So we don't need all of these additional things. Please keep the sunnah and leave the bid'ah. This is what Prophet, our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his descendants has told us. كل بدعه في النار كل بدعه زلاله وكل زلاله في النار. Every kind of innovation in Sharia is a kind of for example misguidance and going astray, and going astray is equal to going to hell. So please take care of this if you are really willing to follow Sharia.
Thank you. But, you know, some of them actually don't believe that these traditions that they quote and they practice according to are not rooted in Islam. They say that, for example, to their students, of course, that these zikrs have been recommended, for example, by that imam or by that, I don't know, disciple of Holy Prophet and things like this and that. What do you say about that, you know?
I told you, if you can rely on those traditions, okay. If there is a kind of chain of narrators, reliable narrators for this hadith, so that's okay. It means that it is from Prophet or from Imams, which are recommended by Prophet. If not, so it's better to abandon it, to leave it. Even maybe sometimes it's not recommended, but it is prohibited. Because there are many, many sayings from Prophet and Imams that everything we didn't tell you is bid'ah. Bid'ah innovation, adding to Sharia, changing Sharia, and it is even unlawful. Because Sharia is not made by us. We have no right to change it. Sharia is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is coming from Allah to his Prophet, and we have no right to change it or to add to it or to, for example, minimize it or maximize it. No, we don't have any rights to do this. So though in this time we are doing an invalid action and making change in Islam and giving people, for example, in our opinion, another way rather than what Prophet, peace be upon him, has brought to them. But no problem if they don't claim that these are necessary and these are from Sharia, but they want to practice it. For example, you like to say every day 100 times Allahu Akbar. But you don't claim that this is from Islam or this is necessary or obligatory for every Muslim to do this. No problem. You are not, for example, prevented from this. But don't make it the kind of sunnah and mix it with Islam and say this is also included in Islam. And even as much as you add and increase zikr is recommended. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Quran says, mention Allah as much as possible.
Right.
No problem.
And we have a lot of cases these days. I mean, in modern days or today, We have many of these examples that some of these people, in fact, claim that, for example, they know this particular type of knowledge, this esoteric knowledge, let's say. And sometimes they even achieve a special spiritual power that they'll be able, I don't know, to cure even the patient. And what do you say about that? You know, this type of knowledge gives them a special spiritual power to do some wonders, to do some magical stuff, you know?
Basically and theoretically, we are not against it. Uh-huh. But we know that most of these people which claim such as these things are not, for example, righteous and are not sincere. Mm-hmm. And some of them are even suspect of some kind of abuse of people. Yes. In this regard. So it's better to be careful.
Uh-huh. I'm not talking about Islam only. We have it in the other sects and let's say religions and schools of thoughts. Like yogis, for example, in India, they do special things, you know, like this
even
and
in
that.
In Christianity, a lot of churches are based on healing.
Yeah.
They claim that they give healing and cure to patients. Uh-huh. So they,
yes, you probably
they
have
make
seen
a mistake and they think that the church is a hospital.
Yes. Yes.
And so if they are not cured, we should not go to the church. Uh-huh. No, this is not the method of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never, for example, made a contract with people that I cure your, for example, patients and then you become a Christian. Uh-huh. No, even if we are not cured, we should believe in Christianity, in real Christianity, in Jesus Christ, in its real concept, and
yes,
in Islam, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you are not cured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
right,
you should believe in Him.
Yes,
it does not depend on, for example, healing and cure of our disease, because
yeah,
disease is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cure is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu a'lam حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها هم أتراج الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين هم أتراج الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها هم عترات الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين هم عترات الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها.
Now that we had talked about, let's say, the reliable sources of hadith, how do we know that the hadith that we now know is reliable and what the Prophet has really said? I mean,
there are certain knowledges for this meaning, for this goal. Scholars of Islam and other religions also, some of them were specialists in this regard.
Yes.
They have proofs, they can make a kind of, for example, a comparison between hadiths, between hadith and Quran. There are different ways and methods. They are compiled and categorized in special sciences. For example, in Islam, they call it ilm al-rijal.
Yes.
And ilm al-diraya. Ilm al-Rijal is to evaluate the narrator. Every single narrator, they bring him under evaluation, under a study. They study his life, his, for example, reliability. Where is he placed and located in the chain of narrators, from who is narrating and who narrated from him.
Yes.
All of these are kept. So we can go to through these knowledges to understand what is true and what is wrong due to the conditions of narrator and the narration itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Let me remind our dear listeners about our email address, radiomarfen@irib.ir, and our website. You can also visit our website, www.radiomarf.ir. You can also call us at 0098-251-291-0551 or 291-0552. Well, to remind you again, the name of our program was Q&A, or question and answer. Our special guest today was Hujjatul Islam Barati, and I was Muhammad Jawad Moafi, the host of the program. Thank you very much, and have a nice time.
بالذنوب وقد دعاك فإن تغفر فأهل أنت ذاك وإن تغضب فمن يرحم سواك فإلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك مقرا بالذنوب وقد دعاك فإن تغفر فأهل أنت ذاك وإن تغضب فمن يرحم سواك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك مقرا بالذنوب وقد دعاك فإن تغفر فأهل أنت ذاك وإن تغضب فمن يرحم سواك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك إلهي عبدك الجاني أتاك مقرا بالذنوب
down.